And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Folks, welcome into Onto Waveland, pre-deadline edition. It's the Chicago Cubs podcast here at The Athletic. I'm Brett Taylor, joined by Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney. We're here to talk Cubs, and I hope you guys canceled those October cruises you had lined up, because this team is making a run. So the Cubs took three of four from the Cardinals, which, you know, when we sat and we talked last week at the start of the week, it was basically I needed to see them sweep the White Sox and take three or four from the Cardinals. And then I would say they can't possibly sell. They have to buy. You know, that was what I said then. As I sit here today, that is exactly what happened. So I have to be married to that. I think it tracks with a report this weekend from Jesse Rogers that I think was echoed by Ken Rosenthal thereafter, that the Cubs have maybe informed some interested teams that they won't be trading Cody Bellinger. And while that, strictly speaking, does not preclude them trading any other players or not necessarily buying, I think it tracks with our sense of where things were headed over the last 3, 4, or 5 days. And I think we will go into this deadline tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central, expecting the Cubs to be light buyers, if anything. That's kind of what I'm, that's where I'm gearing myself up for over this next next day.
Yeah, I don't know if surprise is the right word. I guess I'd be surprised if they don't do at least one small addition to the bullpen, at like particularly a lefty. You know, if they can find a right-handed bat, I think they'd be thrilled with that. You could go one-stop shopping to the Mets and see, you know, Brooks Raley, Mark Canna, see if those guys are available. Something like that makes a lot of sense. The price doesn't seem like it'd be insane. I'd still love to see something big in the sense like of a controllable pitcher or bat seems really unlikely, but that's very unlikely to happen. You know, it's just not too little time to get that done, but I think it would make so much sense. Just not, probably not realistic, and not where their focus, I think, right now is trying to supplement this team and kind of show a little bit of faith in the group for the first time in we're talking really 4 years since the Cubs have had this opportunity in a real season. And I, you know, as much as there may be flaws with this team or this team, you know, nobody looks at this team and say, yeah, this is a team that can go on a run and win the World Series. I think it's really important for fans to stop looking at things like that and thinking like, how can we get prospects and how can we beef up the farm system and just enjoy this. Enjoy a team finally being in the playoff hunt in August and September. It's been a while. Think about that. It was pre-pandemic. I mean, just put it in that perspective for people. It's been a long time since you've been able to say, my team can make a playoff run, looks good for a 162-game season. So fans should focus on that and enjoy that instead of focusing on the flaws of this team and wondering how it may fall apart.
Yeah, and I think the bullpen may not be on the verge of falling apart, but they've leaned on some of these, you know, Circle of Trust guys pretty hard for a long time. And like all of them are, you know, at or near kind of, you know, career highs, or they're well beyond their career norms, like what they have been doing. And we still got 2 months to go here. So there's no way they don't add to the bullpen. I just don't see a scenario in which, you know, Jed comes up empty handed here. It won't be that hard to you'll get a couple brand names, a left-handed option. Really felt it the other night. You know, they had that 4-run lead in St. Louis, and it always feels different at Busch Stadium. I just feel like the Cardinals, even though they're bad this year, there's still that kind of lurking sense of like something bad is going to happen to the Cubs. And you know, Mike Tauchman can't always make insane game-saving catches. And like, I don't know, you see them with a 4-run lead, and like it's still kind of like, ooh, like Assad and coming in there after Leiter had loaded the bases, and then you're bringing in Palencia, a guy who was what, like starting in Double A not that long ago, like trying to close out the Cardinals, even though it wasn't quite a safe situation. Like they've operated without an experienced left-handed reliever like the entire year. I mean, it's time to give Ross and his coaching staff someone with a little more know-how. You kind of even though Fulmer's been better, he hasn't quite been that guy. Brad Boxberger has not been that guy. Like, you know, give him someone that he can trust late in the game. I think it would go a long way. I mean, we're talking about this weekend. Like, you know, do you remember where you were when the Cubs signed Mike Tauchman to a minor league deal in the middle of January? Like, no, but they are good at finding some of these role players. That's how this team is built. And I think that if you add like two smaller pieces, it could make a really big impact down the stretch.
It reminds me a lot. This temperature reminds me a lot of 2015, the deadline specifically, where we knew at that time the Cubs were competitive. You know, there was never like a buy sell debate at that time. They didn't really have a guys that they would be selling at that time anyway, even if, you know, they didn't have a Cody Bellinger and a Marcus Stroman on expiring deals. But they also, they were still trailing a good bit in the division, quite a bit more than they are now. Still trailing in the wild card, I believe, by a handful of games, trailing fewer teams than they are now. But the Cubs, of course, with Jed Hoyer as the GM at that time, went out and got Dan Heron and Tommy Hunter, each of whom were like useful contributor types, you know, very low cost. I could not tell you as I sit here today who they traded for those guys. That's rare for me. Usually I can remember those things pretty closely. And so I think that's indicative of the tier that they were looking at the time. They needed innings. They needed arms to just kind of help stabilize things. Kind of the point, Mooney, you were making about this year's bullpen group. The Cubs are just going to need some additional innings, you know. Certainly it's possible that, you know, Julian Merriweather, for example, who hasn't been healthy before long enough to throw 60 plus innings, maybe he will be this year, and that's fine. But I mean, historically he hasn't been. And, you know, I think you have to guard against a lot of those things now at the deadline. If you're a team like the Cubs, where even if you don't see yourself as this aggressive buyer because your playoff odds are in the 30% range, you still have to utilize the deadline as your last opportunity to backstop things. And for this Cubs team, you know, like Sahadev said, I would like them to find another bench bat. I think that there'd be some value in that. I kind of was bummed last night when CJ Krohn went to the Angels in a deal that with Randall Grichuk that didn't seem all that onerous. But certainly in the bullpen, I agree with you, Patrick, that there's no way the Cubs don't add innings. You know, it may not be, I don't see them as in on like the back end super elite impact arms if they're made available, because those tend to go to the teams that know they're in the playoffs, know they're going to need those most valuable innings. You know, the most valuable innings in any season are the late innings in a playoff game. And so that's why those late inning relievers are so valuable at the deadline to certain types of teams. Of course, it's what we saw in 2016 with their oldest Chapman in the Cubs. So I don't know that I see the Cubs this year playing in that tier of reliever, but there will be guys available, and they'll be able to make something happen. And it may not knock anyone's socks off, but it will help provide some additional floor in a bullpen that is improving throughout this year, but that doesn't necessarily have a ton of guys that you trust.
Brett, you're not. I know you're in Chicago, but you're not going to the game, right? That's
no, I'm going. Tonight. Yeah.
You are going tonight. Yep. Okay. I mean, I just like, for me, it feels like these past 2 weeks for Cubs fans have to be some of the best games, the most fun or stressful or most invested fans have been in a while. I mean, I just think back on some of the crazy wins they've had. They've had some tough losses, obviously, multiple times. I think all three of us have said, well, that's the end, that you know, this pushes them to sellers. And I don't think we were being unfair, but I mean, just look back. I know a lot of people were saying that Talkman game was like the biggest win or the most pumped maybe fans have been since the David Bode homer in a regular season game. But I felt like the Ian Happ two guys thrown out at home was similarly impactful in the sense like, holy cow, did that just happen? Like, how do you win a game like that? I mean, to have games like that in the past 2 weeks, I hope fans are really enjoying it, because it just feels to me like watching them, it's been like, wow, this has been a while since I've cared about the result of the game this late in the season for the Cubs. And that's that should be a good feeling. Just been like, I was just looking at the games, and two things stood out to me. Just some crazy wins, some exciting wins. But do you realize that in July, if the pitching staff has allowed 3 runs or fewer, the Cubs won every single game until yesterday? Yesterday was the first time in July they didn't win a game where if the pitching staff kept it at 3 runs or fewer, they lost. Which is exactly how this team is built, right? If this team can, keep the opposition down as far as offensively, they're going to win the game. That's how it should work out. So it's finally working that way. I'm not sure if they're. David Ross made a comment, Patrick, you were there the other night, where he said basically we don't win this game earlier in the year. I honestly don't know if the team's that much more different than, like, they're just getting that hit. They're just getting, like, it's a lot of things are just finally going their way. And I think this is what I was talking about early in the season. It was even 2 weeks ago. It was kind of driving me nuts, where it was just like, man, I usually don't feel like the team is, you know, the team is just their record, like, or maybe worse sometimes. And this was the first time in a while where I was like, wow, it's really frustrating to have to cover a team that I think is better than their record says. It'd be a lot easier if this team just won some games so I could actually understand or like point to it and say, like, see, this is what I think this team is. And they're about there now, around a 500 team. And if they surprise us and keep going on a run, I think that'd be great. And this is where you do it, right? The trade deadline, you improve yourself. And then after the trade deadline, a lot of the teams that you're going to be facing aren't going to be as good, right? But this week is huge. This week is going to be really fascinating and interesting. their numbers against lefty pitchers have somehow cratered. I don't know if you've noticed, but Nico Hoerner has a 21 weighted runs graded plus against lefties this month. 21. He's at like 80 for the season. They have a lot of guys that are just struggling this month against lefties, which I guess just like emphasizes, because when Patrick and I like started digging in, like, who may they be going after, and I heard righty bat, I was like, huh, what have I not been paying attention to? And then I looked and I was like, oh wow, they're really struggling against lefties. It just stood out to me that they don't really have many guys that are hitting lefties right now, even though it's not like they're a lineup loaded with lefty bats or something. It's just they don't have those bats that are really crushing the lefties, which I think that would be like, fans are, I know I've noticed some stuff on Twitter where fans are like, oh, that doesn't really move the needle. They're not going to move the needle this deadline. Just get someone that you can hope surprises or turns it on or is just productive in a certain way. And that means hitting lefties, great. And same thing with the relievers. If you can a lot of it is just getting these main guys rest, like Patrick said. Like, they've just been leaning on Merriweather, Leiter, and Alzolay. They really need to just give them a break and get some more depth on this team in multiple ways. And I think it can be a fun final 2 months, at least. Keep people plugged in August and September instead of starting to talk about Bears training camp and Justin Fields.
That Ross quote of "we don't win this game" earlier in the season, definitely, like, you know, my ears perked up as soon as he said it. And I think it is, I think to your point, Sadiq, that was basically Talkman's point when that idea was presented to him, of just like, well, I think the Blues have been there the whole time. And it's like, okay, whatever. We get it. Like, the marquee camera's right in your face. You have to kind of, like, you know, be on point. But I think it circled back to something Ross said in St. Louis. I think it might have even been before the Talkman game. And the Talkman game is now a thing I think we can put in the vernacular of just, like, you know, this is kind of a different team, though, if you look at the personnel and how they've been able to group things. And that obviously Talkman is a big part of that. You know, Christopher Morel's Des Moines sabbatical, you know, where he found the light of what he needed to do. The bullpen was obviously a mess at the beginning of the year, and they have found, you know, kind of the right mix with that. And then you had, you know, the Cody Bellinger knee injury was huge. I mean, obviously that is just had a huge impact on the lineup, and then you miss Dansby, and it's like all of a sudden when those, like, pieces are in place. I looked at the, you know, the game notes has the injured list, all the names, and I'm like, am I not missing one? Like, this is pretty much close to full strength, right? I mean, I'm not, like, obviously, there are guys coming into the year that you thought, you know, might, you know, certainly a Brandon Hughes, like, would be huge right now, but he's not there. But other than that, like, this is pretty solid group. And I do think if you look in the media guide, like, Alzolay's been awesome, but he spent a lot of time on the injured list. You look at Merriweather, like, why was he traded earlier? Why didn't he stick with Toronto? It's because it wasn't super durable. I mean, what they're asking Leiter to do is a lot. And I think, like, crossing your fingers that, like, Palencia and Kay and some of these other guys, like, I just don't think you can, like, out infrastructure your way to, like, the playoffs. I think you just need some experience. And we all know how Ross is wired. Like, he's very receptive to the front office. He takes in the information, but he's also a guy who played a long time in the big leagues, and is like, he wants someone who's pitched in front of 40,000 people in September before. Like, he just, you need a guy like that in the back end who you can trust.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And I think the Cubs will hope maybe that, you know, Brad Boxberger is throwing again, and maybe he comes back and he's healthy and contributes. And Brandon Hughes, it was interesting. I don't know that we've talked about it on the podcast, but he was initially slated to get that sort of very serious leg surgery. He ended up not having that. They had just sort of a cleanup procedure, and he may actually come back this year. But even if that's the case, you can't, that isn't a strategy upon which to build a desire to stay in the race. You know, you that'd be nice if they come back, but you have to sort of operate as though they're not. And like we said, the deadline represents the last real opportunity to make those supplements, especially now in the era where the August waiver trade period is gone. I mean, this is truly it, this deadline. And I thought it was interesting. The Ross quote stood out to me too, but you guys handled it well in terms of the two ways of thinking about, would they have won that game earlier this year? Well, maybe not. I think he was offering it. I read it as, you know, just sort of a clubhouse, something that you hear a manager say, you know, like we're coming together and we, you know, but it was funny to deconstruct it as, well, would they have, you know, in terms of the way they have repositioned guys over the last couple of months. Another quote in the last couple of days that I thought really stood out was something that Kyle Hendricks said. I think it was after yesterday's start. So he had a nice solid start in St. Louis, 7 innings, 3 runs. And he, you know, that's kind of what he's been this year, which has been incredible. It's really, really been incredible what he's contributed this year. And this was after it came out, you know, that the Cubs were not going to trade Cody Bellinger. It was after they had gone over 500, sort of the Talkman game had happened and everyone's expecting them to buy. And Hendricks nevertheless mentioned something to the effect of, you know, we'll really be able to exhale when the deadline passes. And I thought, especially coming from Kyle Hendricks, that speaks to not that there's doubt in the clubhouse about the front office proceeding with this group and trying to compete this year, but I think it more speaks to where we started this podcast, that, you know, Sahadev was talking about, it's been years since this, since we had a Cubs team to look at in August and September and say, you know, they're still going, they're still competing, there's still a chance. And if you're Kyle Hendricks, who's been here for the last several years of sell-offs and indeed is the last guy remaining, you could understand why he would still have that a little bit of a catch inside himself of being like, you know what, let's just let the deadline actually pass, see that guys aren't traded away, and then I can really exhale. And I wonder what the impact will be in the clubhouse once the deadline passes. Whatever the Cubs do or don't do, I wonder if we don't think enough, because they say all the right things. You know, the guys, they always say the right things about, well, we're just focused on today's game, or, but they're humans. And so you do wonder if there's going to be a nice little emotional burst for them when the deadline passes and Cody Bellinger really is still there and Marcus Stroman really is still there. I do wonder what the impact will be.
Yeah, I think we'll get a little bit more honesty, to be frank. Like, we finally started hearing some of that, I felt like, this week. Some of the players were like, yeah, well, I mean, we know what's happening. We know we need to win. Like, finally, you started getting some of those quotes. I think the wins helped, allowed them to kind of say it out loud, what was their reality, right? They had to know that if they didn't win, a lot of those guys were going to be traded away, and the more they lost, perhaps more players being traded away, right? Maybe it would have been a more significant sell-off if this was an 8-game losing streak instead of an 8-game winning streak. You know, it would be talking about a lot of players probably already traded with some big moves coming in the next 24 hours, right? Obviously, that's not the case. They put themselves in this position that almost feels a little foreign, and I feel like it's really setting them up well for the off season and next season. I think that's a big thing we'll be talking about over the coming months, and hopefully after the season we focus on that. We're not talking about them falling out of it in the next month. They can give us something more to talk about as far as regular season and postseason goes. But it is interesting. I do agree, Brett, that there's going to be that quote was interesting to me, and just I think we'll hear some things over the next couple of days from them finally talking about these things on the record. Maybe not someone like Dansby Swanson or some of the guys that just try to stick to what they want to say on the record, and just the belief in the team that they've always had and the group, and oh, we would have been fine, either way. But I do believe we'll hear some, like, it's nice to see some faith in us from the front office. I'm glad this team stuck together. Yeah, it was weighing on us, but we were able to shut it out. Whatever it is, however it goes, I think there will be some of that, and it'll be interesting to see how they react in the midst of a really tough stretch of games, which may probably is their toughest stretch of games the rest of the way. Like these six, they don't have much tougher outside.
No, and
of,
they
like,
get the Met. Yeah. They get the Mets after this six, so.
Right? And then it's Mets to Toronto, which is a tough series, but not, you know, not impossible. I mean, these are two hot teams that they're playing right now. Well, one hot team and the best team in baseball, right, over this week. So it's just not it's a nice little stretch for them to have right as they're playing well. To kind of we'll see what it does to them and how they react.
Don't you think the front office kind of wishes the deadline was a week from now instead of today? Like, they're going to get a lot of information. They're going to get a lot of really valuable information this week that they can't use.
Right. Either way, right? Whether like they can see their flaw, like they can see more of their flaws exposed too, and kind of get a better idea of how to cover those flaws if they were in full buy mode, or it's like, ooh, there's just too many flaws to cover up right now.
I do think we'll hear from Marcus Stroman after tonight's start or after the deadline. Like, I do think there's an element of that to his recent performance. I think getting some clarity will probably give him a boost here. It's only human. We certainly saw that with other players who rolled through Chicago in recent years. I think this group does deserve credit for just coming up huge when they absolutely had to. It certainly stands out against the way the 2021 team just folded before the All-Star break, the way the Joe Maddon era ended just with such a huge crash against the Cardinals. I do find it funny of certain commenters or people online being like, oh, they just did it against bad teams. It's like, dude, your team just pants the White Sox and Cardinals. Like, enjoy it, right? I mean, just kind of like, yeah. Go with that. But you know, there's this little grace period. Like yesterday, I mean, it's you know, the Cubs won 8 in a row, 10-12. It's Kyle Hendricks, who pitched great. You know, maybe if Morel didn't mess up that ball in the first inning, there would be a little bit of tenor. But that was definitely a Sunday getaway kind of lineup vibe of just like, you know, walk into that clubhouse and, you know, Hendricks was in a super good mood because, I mean, that's, he's always even keel. I'm not making it about Hendricks, but like, you get, they have like no margin for error here, you know? So you get a little bit of grace period of, hey, you know, good job. You know, you avoided the sell-off, but yeah, you're going to have the Reds and then the best team in baseball in Wrigley Field. And it's like, you can't like coast here. There can't be that letdown. Like, they, and Hendricks said that, like, we've been in this mode for a while and you can't really turn it off to make buying worth it here.
Right. It's like this, we've talked about the things that needed to be done to get to this checkpoint and not sell and not buy, but that's all just a precursor to the level at which they would have to play to actually make the playoffs. And it is basically, they've been really great in July. Now, they don't have to win another 8 in a row necessarily from here, but they kind of have to be as good as they've been over the last month for the next 2 months in order to actually get to a win total that you could see realistically making the postseason. And yeah, you weirdly wouldn't want it to be kind of backwards of what you would expect, where there's like a letdown of, all right, we did the thing, the very hard thing we needed to do to get to the deadline and not sell off. Whew. And then there's a foot off the gas, especially given the opponents this week, where I think it would be, not to armchair psychologists, any of the individual players, but I can imagine it would be easy if you did have a tough week this week against some good teams, especially when you need to beat in division. It would be maybe easy this weekend to look back and be like, ah, shit, you know, we really, we screwed it. You know, we got where we needed to be and then we screwed it in a week. Instead of just being like, look, we're back to we're back to ground floor. This is a week where the Cubs just need to kind of hold serve. You know, if they could take two or three from the Reds and one of two from the Braves, fine, great. 3-3, that is fine, because there are going to be opportunities to turn it back on against bad teams, because that's what good teams do, is they beat bad teams and they hold serve against good teams. So hopefully that's all that's required this week. Of course, if they would like to win more than that this week, that would certainly be fine.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about this in the sense, and I think it's four against the Reds, right? Is it four against the Reds?
Sorry.
Yeah. So if you come out of this week at 500, you survive, right? You should feel okay. And I think there is a sense of we were straight up doing what we're not supposed to do during a baseball season, as far as fans go, as far as media members go, which is just every game there was so much weight put on it for 2 weeks, basically since Michael Fulmer told us it's a must win, right? So it's been about 3 weeks then in Milwaukee after they lost that game. A lot of must win, a lot of they can't drop these games, and it's time for the rest of us to kind of exhale. I think not the Cubs, right? But now it's just like, okay, we don't have to stare at the standings and their record. They have 2 months to try and get in this race, stay in this race, and get atop one of those, either wild card or division. It's not this crunch time of 2 weeks. Every game matters. It's just staring at the standings every day. I think that's I was thinking about that, how it's like, okay, this, you're past that now. They've done what they needed to do. Now just go stay in the race and try and chip away at the leads. Losing a game one day doesn't crush you, right? Like you just need to stay at a steady pace and try and catch those teams. And you've shrunk the lead so much. It's a 4-game division lead, and
It was 7 or 8. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've done a lot of work in the past 2 weeks. You just keep chipping away. And if you can do one a week, that'd be huge, essentially. If you can keep it, if you don't fall far back and just keep chipping away, you're fine. So 3-4 this week, I don't think is the end of the world.
Yeah. I think, I totally spaced. Oh, here. I think we have kind of lost track of the Reds and Brewers to a certain extent. I mean, obviously, there was that crazy series in Milwaukee. I was thinking of, Talkman's huge hit there. What was it, against Devin Williams? Like, that was one of those games that felt like a definite loss. Obviously, the Reds, got super hot there and were like the talk of baseball. But I think deep down in that clubhouse, like something that they would like never publicly announce is that I don't think they're that good, either of those teams. You know what I mean? And that's not my opinion. That I think is kind of how they're looking at the road ahead. Now they obviously have to go out and prove it. And the Brewers are very good at kind of, outperforming expectations and surprising people. But, Tyone mentioned this the other day of like, this is how we're built, that it's depth, it's kind of role players, it's the matchups, it's kind of navigating the other team's lineup. Bellinger is this what Joe Madden would call like a force multiplier of like all the pieces look a lot better that way. I mean, I gotta say, like, Dansby Swanson this weekend, just watching him play shortstop, like that double play in the ninth inning and the Talkman catch obviously overshadowed it, but he made two huge defensive plays, in a one-run game that won't show up on a highlight reel. There's not really, it's not like putting a hit in the box score, but like he brings it defensively and just makes all of these, difficult kind of like 50-50 plays look so smooth and so easy. And I think that is another thing that's going to show up here big time over the last 2 months. It doesn't guarantee anything, but you can kind of sort of see like where they were going with this this past offseason when they made these investments.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. There was that chopper. It was a Wilson Contreras chopper, I think, in the Talkman game where Dansby Swanson charged hard on it. And it was he does that routinely. He makes it look like a play that just, oh, yeah, everybody makes that play. But if you step back and look at it, and that would have scored a run. You look at it and you're like, wait a minute. No, that's a really good play that he just made look very easy because he's so I like that. The 50-50 plays that he makes look easy that anyone else is there, you see it as 50-50. All right. Well, should we leave it there? Should that be it before the deadline? The Cubs, as we said, they've got the Reds this week and then the Braves. But in the interim, of course, the trade deadline will come 5 p.m. Central on Tuesday. There are no games scheduled at that time. Baseball has done this thing now where I believe all the games start after the deadline. So we are robbed of Hugwatch on the actual deadline itself. So anything that's going to happen, it's going to happen around tonight's game or tonight's games or during the day tomorrow. So we will be back at you on Thursday to talk about the results of the games, the results of the deadline, and where things are trending for the Cubs. It is nice, as we have said, it's nice to be caring about these games right now. July 31st, Cubs still in the race. This is On to Waveland, Cubs podcast here at The Athletic. I'm Brett Taylor. You can get my stuff at Bleacher Nation. That's Patrick Mooney and Sahadev Sharma. Get theirs at The Athletic. And you have yourself a nice, swell week. In the meantime, take care.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.